The El Paso Chopin Piano Festival Society and the El Paso Community College present the 23rd season of the Chopin Piano Festival. The annual series of performances promoting the appreciation of Chopin's music are performed at the Chamizal National Memorial Theater and are always free of charge. The festival kicks off on Saturday, September 23rd, with a performance by pianist Ning An. Here to tell us about the festival and all the performers are Dr. Lucy Scarborough and Joyce Whiteside. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thank you.
Well, thank you. We're just glad to present Ning An and all of the other artists, of course. But he's our first pianist. And where I met him was he was in the Chopin National Competition, which I was one of on the selection committee. And so I was able to bring the first prize winner here to El Paso, and the people just loved him, you know. And he has been here more than once.
Yes, this is his fourth time. He started in 2001, 2004, 2011, and now
again.
Oh, geez. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you also said that he started really young, too, when he was
16.
Playing piano.
16.
And he still looks relatively young.
Yeah, I think he is relatively young, yes.
He's now a professor in California at Fullerton University.
Teaching piano, I assume?
Yes.
Yeah. We had a chance to kind of see him grow, you know, this fresh young person coming through, you're not totally into the groove of everything yet. And now I'm sure we're going to see even more of a seasoned professional when he comes back. The last time he was just amazing to see how professional and settled he was in his career.
And I mean, doing this for 23 years, you see this evolution in artists pretty often, don't you?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. And I would like to say that anybody who's won these contests, now they have not only won the Chopin National Competition, but they have won the Rubinstein and the Leeds and the biggest contests that you have. And so, therefore, they're on top. They're the top musician pianists of the world.
So do you wait for them to win, and then you pick up the phone and give them a call? Is that how that works?
it's not exactly in that order, but the reason I like to bring them is I'm on the selection committee, and I've seen them even when we selected them. We all have about 50 or 60 of them, and then we check who might be able to win out of all those. And then, of course, it goes to another level, and he won that year. Both of these won, and so I was happy to see them win.
Is it hard to pick a winner? Because I imagine you're seeing lots of talented
goodness.
Artists when
a
you're
A lot of times, now they send it so we can just see it on TV visually. But even then, sometimes I have to go back 5 or 10 times to go over and say, is that one really better? Or, you know, in other words, a lot of things count. Mm-hmm. Yeah, how they play and how they interpret it. And if they come along playing Chopin too strongly, more like Beethoven, well, I know that those other people are not going to take that. There's a manner that Chopin has, you know, that we expect for a Chopin player. A lot of intimacy and delicacy and strength.
Mm-hmm. You know? So you have to be strong and light at the same time.
Yes, and very musical, you know. Of course, I also judge by whether nobody else will say this, but I will, is how interesting are they on stage? Are they just a bore, you know, playing perfectly but boring? But I won't tell anybody but you that I also they make a great difference how the audience receives them. You know?
But that's really important because
very important.
When somebody is performing and it translates, their passion translates to the audience, when you, the audience, can feel that, you can't, there's no way to express that, right? Other than if you're there and you witnessed it,
exactly.
And then the moment is gone, and it was magical.
There's really good rapport.
That's not popular to be heard, hear me saying that, but that's the way I judge it. I have to see how well they play. They are put under such situations. They have to do all of the preludes, all of the etudes, which are, terrible, 24 of them, plus be able to play, be ready with two different concertos, to play with an orchestra. Talk about strenuous. Wow.
Yeah,
the repertoire
very extremely
is
strenuous.
So extensive. You know.
How much practice goes into becoming one of these types of performers?
Tremendous.
Well, you know, when I went to... when I got my music degree, it was 6 hours a day at least.
Mm-hmm.
A day,
and
at least.
What do you think these guys are playing nowadays?
Well, probably not as much as they used to. Really? Because they're teaching.
Learning something new.
Maybe. And unless they're learning something new now. Yeah. And I know that Meiting doesn't practice as much as he used to, but he has that repertoire. He's just born with all that music in him.
Oh, yeah.
You know? Just, and it's, of course, people are different. That's what we're saying, you know?
Yeah.
And then people ask me, and say, what do you think about that? Do you think you'll like him? And I said, I'm a different kind of person. Chopin is so intimate that I will play it differently because I'm a different person than Meiting, and he plays it so great. And so I look at it, each individual is interpreting their individual way. They're great musicians.
Right.
That's the way Chopin is.
Yes.
It's intimate and individual.
I've had a chance to be a hostess for a lot of our guests, and some of them will want to go right away to the chamaison, practice in the evening, practice the next day on Saturday, and then be ready for the concert. They're just totally intent on practicing. And others is like, okay, when the concert comes, that's when I'm going to be out there.
Is that a treat for you, Joyce, to host these artists and to kind
Well,
of
it is, because you get to meet such really wonderfully down-to-earth human people. I mean, they are truly good persons with beautiful values, and they are dedicated to their art, even though the sacrifice is so tremendous. There's a tremendous passion for it. And even though they are musical geniuses, I think, you know,
they worked
a lot, and they continue to work a lot every day, and they are constantly under pressure. And when they travel, well, sometimes it gets a little lonesome.
Of course.
And stressful. And yet they've adopted that life pattern. And because of that, what we said with the audience, that synergy that takes place, I mean, there's nothing like it for the audience then to see how much an audience will respond, and then for the audience to see how the artist reaches out to them.
I think that's what you live for, right? I mean,
that's
the moment you live for as an artist.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, definitely.
So tell us about the artists that are coming this year. You'll have concerts every Saturday starting September 23rd, and it looks pretty amazing. Will you give us the run? I mean, we did kind of allude to both of them, but maybe tell us a little bit more about each one.
Okay. Well, Ning-An is a top prize winner of many piano competitions, including now the Queen Elizabeth of Belgium and the National Chopin Piano, and he is noted for his flawless technique and mastery, and he really relates to the audience. And as far as Meiting, my goodness, they even call him the daredevil.
Really?
Because he is, you know, he now has his doctor's degree from Juilliard School of Music that we know, wow, you know, not only won the National Chopin Piano Competition, but the Bartok Kabalevsky and Prokofiev and the Arthur Rubinstein. He's on top of the world, around the world. So you just got to say, we're just going to be very fortunate to hear what the world thinks is a top pianist. Mm-hmm. They select it. Oh, it's quite a cycle of selections, and then they play for big, big audiences.
Now, you talk about these other guys, but then Dr. Scarborough
is playing,
too.
Yeah, very important person. Yes.
Tell us about her, Joyce.
Not only is she a wonderful artist and musician, she's a composer, she's an educator, she's a community leader, she's a friend. I mean, she's so everything, I think, for El Paso. When you start thinking about who are the most important people we have here that are really supporting and giving to the community, you have to think of her in that list.
Well, you can't miss that. I mean, you've been doing this for 23 years, and this is a passion project.
Mm-hmm. Come to her concert and listen to her beautiful music, because we're privileged. I mean, a lot of people in this country don't get to hear what we are hearing, and it is just hauntingly beautiful. And she's still producing so many wonderful things. Yeah. So definitely, if you don't make any concert at all, as much as I like Ning-An and Meiting, do come to Lucy's concert.
Now, question.
Did you tell her about the nomination I got?
Oh, yeah. For the musician laureate for Texas Musician.
Oh, that little thing.
Yeah, that little thing.
Were you going to sit here and not tell us about this nomination?
Oh, yeah. She was nominated. And rightfully so, because Texas can be proud of what she has done.
That's amazing. So when do you hear the news, or what's the next process in that?
That's the way, as far as it went. I was nominated, and I was just honored to do it.
Mm-hmm. That's amazing.
I'd like to say one thing about another thing that is really different for me as a classical musician is I wrote a complete drama called Forever Billy the Kid, and mm-hmm. I have 14 different songs, and some of them are very appropriate to this locale,
mm-hmm.
and I even wrote one cowboy song.
The Landeman, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. And as she played it last year, it was her son, and I think this was your grandniece, right,
mm-hmm,
together?
Right.
Her grandniece played, I believe it was the violin, and he played the guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was an orchestral background that was recorded, you know, all from Lucy, you know, that was all put together. And my gosh, and then a beautiful baritone came out singing. The audience wanted to get up and clap. And I mean, they just were in the spirit of it so much. It's just infectious. It's so beautiful. The poetry of it is so great, you know,
and
wholesome.
I like to do that as a hobby.
Mm-hmm. It sounds phenomenal.
Keeps my mind busy.
Mm-hmm. And other than Chopin, you also create your own stuff, too. To keep your mind busy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's recap. The 2017 Chopin Piano Festival kicks off on Saturday, September 23rd, and then we have another performance on Saturday, October 7th, and then, not to be missed, Dr. Mm-hmm. Lucy Scarborough. She plays on Saturday, October 21st. All the concerts begin at 7. They're free. They're at the Chamizal Memorial. But most importantly, because they are free and we've got some amazing performers, do plan to get there early so that you can get a seat, because you don't want to run out of luck on this one, right?
No, that's exactly right. We don't encourage children under 6 years old, because it is really kind of hard for them. And also the artist has to have a lot of quiet, and little kids sometimes find it very difficult to be quiet. So, mm-hmm. But the concentration is so tremendous for that. And this is a Tejano Passport event, too. And so the programs will have the code so that the faculty and the students from El Paso Community College can scan it and have their points.
Oh, that's excellent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get some extra points doing it. But if anything, just go feed your soul.
Oh, my gosh. Yes. Feed your soul.
Today, my guests have been Dr. Lucy Scarborough and Joyce Whiteside, and they are here representing the 2017 El Paso Chopin Piano Festival. We're all invited. Thank you so much for coming to State of the Arts.
Well, thank you for having us.